chapter 15. Luke chapter 15. I hope this morning that you've enjoyed spending some time in worship with our church family. So thankful to our music team who does such a great job here each and every week and leading us. Thankful that we can gather in this place to lift up our voices to our God. So Luke chapter 15 today, we'll be reading verses 1 through 7. Verses 1 through 7. Before we get started, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, it is good to be here today. It is good to be here amongst friends and fellow worshipers. And we pray that you would move during this time, continue to move during this time with your Spirit, guiding our hearts toward the Lord Jesus, showing us, God, what you are like. You are like no other. You are an amazing God, full of grace, full of mercy, inviting people like us into your presence because you desire us, you love us. What an amazing love you have for your people. Remind us of that during our time this morning. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning, I'd like for you to listen to a story. A story that Jesus told a group of people who just needed to hear what God is like. Because sometimes we forget. We forget what he's like. And sometimes we need to be challenged on the way that we think about God. We need to be corrected. We need our hearts and our minds adjusted to what Scripture, the Bible, says that our God is like. And I don't think that we can ever get tired of hearing about a God who welcomes sinners into his presence, who offers them grace and delights when they come to him. And that is what our God is like. So this is what Jesus told some people about our God. He said, "Now the tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to hear him," Jesus. "And the Pharisees and the scribes grumbled, saying, 'This man receives sinners and eats with them.' So he told them this parable. 'What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he has lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost." Just so I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance." I mean, Jesus had a heart for those people that would gather around him out in the streets. He saw them flock because they loved to hear a message about a God of grace. And there were people in the crowd. There were two different types of people in the crowd that were there. So I'd like for us to take a look for a moment at who was there around Jesus. Verses 1 and 2 tells us that the tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to hear him. Tax collectors were hated in Jesus' day. They were hated because they had this job. They were Jewish people who had the job of taking money from their countrymen, taking the taxes for the Roman government, and they had a certain quota that they had to meet. And so after they collected the quota, everything that was left over that they collected was theirs. So it kind of lended itself toward them being extortioners. They were quick to take money from their country. They could get rich by this. And their countrymen knew it, and they hated them for it. So here in Jesus' crowd, tax collectors, the most loathed people in society, were coming out to hear Jesus. But also the sinners. The sinners. And this means anybody who was not outwardly righteous. Anybody who's not outwardly righteous. The street people, the prostitutes, the thieves. Anybody who had a reputation as being morally questionable. Jesus is teaching. Here he is teaching in the streets, and there's just something so attractive about his message that all of these people who probably never would have gone to what we would say church on a Sabbath day, they would not have gone to the temple, and worship God because nobody really would have wanted them there. They thought they didn't belong. They wouldn't have gone there. But here comes Jesus out in the streets, and these people are coming out to see him. They're listening to the message that he had for them. And he was telling them about a God who loved them, and man, they wanted to listen to that. Who doesn't want to listen to a message like that? So that's one group of people that we had out there in the crowd, or Jesus had out there in the crowd. And there's one other group of people, and they're described as the Pharisees and the scribes. The Pharisees and the scribes. These were the religious elite, the teachers of the law, the men who were in power. They thought they had the market cornered on God. They thought they're the ones that knew everything that somebody needed to know about God. And here they're watching all of these people flock to Jesus. Not to them, but to him. This untrained man. Not somebody that they would have given access into their circles. He has the crowds gathering to him. So can you imagine kind of what's on their hearts that day? Don't you think there's a little bit of jealousy that's happening there? Nobody wants to listen to the Pharisees and scribes, but they all want to listen to Jesus. And look at all these people that are coming to him. You can kind of see them sitting on the fence with their arms watching. Look at all these people. And we're told that they grumbled. They grumbled. And I like what the NIV translation says here a little bit better. It says they muttered. They muttered. I don't think there's ever been a positive spin on muttering ever, has there, you know? It's like mutter, 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 mutter. Not good, right? So you know that whatever they were saying was not a good thing. They were muttering about Jesus. They were muttering about these people. They were dissatisfied with what they saw. So they're watching Jesus meet this rabble of people, and they're disgusted. They're disgusted with what they see, and they say, this man receives sinners and eats with them. Not only does he address them in the street, and that's bad enough. He's out there in the street, and he's talking to these people. He's receiving them. He's not sending them away. But he actually goes into their houses, and he eats with them. He eats with them. I mean, you share a meal with those people that you are welcoming, and here Jesus certainly welcoming these people and being welcomed into their homes. And these Jewish rabbis, these teachers, they had a rule that nobody should associate with the godless, much less eat with them. You just don't do that. If you're a respectable person in society, you don't do that. And Jesus picks up on what they're saying here. And there are times when Jesus would rebuke them directly. He would address them directly and rebuke them. And sometimes he would rebuke them through what he taught, because he knew that they were hypocrites. He knew they were hypocrites. Outwardly, they had the veneer of righteousness. They had the veneer of goodness. But inwardly, he knew they were sick people. And so here he teaches them this story. He teaches them a story about what God is really like, because they think that they know. They think they should be the ones who are telling Jesus about a God who wants nothing to do with the kind of people that are gathering around him. That's what they think should be happening right here. But Jesus tells them a parable that gets at the heart of who God is and what he's like toward tax collectors and sinners. And I have to say this morning what God is like toward us. What is God like toward us? And the story that he tells describes something that just about everybody in first century Israel would have been familiar with. It's the story about a shepherd and his sheep. And he asks the question in verse 4, what man among you who has 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, won't leave the 99 in the open country and go out and look for the one? Which one of you wouldn't do that, he says, if you are a good shepherd? And everybody who heard Jesus teaching would have been able to imagine this scene. I think we can imagine that scene before. Maybe even if you've never even seen sheep out in the field, you can still imagine it from the pictures and the things that you've seen on television. Imagine a shepherd who has 100 sheep when he starts out, and he's out there in the open country, he's out there in the fields and the hills, and he starts counting. And he gets to 99, and he says, uh-oh, I'm missing one. Let me count one more time. because these sheep are moving, you know, hard to count them while they're moving around out here. He counts again, and sure enough, he's got 99 sheep. And he realizes that he's missing one. One of them has wandered off. Something caught its eye. A nice piece of grass out there on top of the hill. It saw it. I'm thinking like Billy Goat's Gruff here, right? Can you imagine that? They just see a patch of grass. They want to go eat grass. That's all that's on their mind. And so they start wandering away. And that's what's happened to one of the sheep. And one of the reasons why sheep need a shepherd is because they do not have a good sense of direction. They're easily lost. They're quick to wander, but they're easily lost. And they don't easily find their way back home. When I was a teenager, I went to the pound. And I got a dog. He was this golden retriever, Labrador kind of dog, you know. One of those playful types, happy dog. And I took him home with me. I thought he was going to be my dog for a while. Well, one night, I used to hang out on Kmart parking lot with my friends. That's what we did. We hung out in the parking lot. We cruised the streets, you know. That's what we did down in Tennessee. I'm sure none of you all ever cruised the streets, you know, up here in Buffalo. But we just hung out in the parking lot. And I think people probably looked at us and thought, stay away from that crowd, you know, over there. Those are the bad kids hanging out in the parking lot. Well, one night, I was sitting in the parking lot of Kmart. And I look out and I see this dog come walking through the lot. And I said to myself, that's my dog. And sure enough, it was. This dog walks right up to me. You know, our paths cross. I pick him up. I put him in the back of my Jeep, and I drive him home. Well, let me just give you an idea that I did not live close by the Kmart parking lot. We live 7 miles. I looked it up this week just to make sure that it was quite that distance. We live 7 miles away from Kmart, all right? And so I took that dog back home, and you know what? In a couple of weeks, he's gone again. And he wasn't coming back this time, all right? Well, we got a call not long afterwards that a family called us and they said, you know, we got a dog, our dog, came home to us. He walked home, he came home, and we called the pound to find out who had adopted the dog, and we wanted to call you and just let you know that the dog that you had has come home to his house. And you know what? That dog lived very close to Kmart parking lot. Isn't that amazing? I mean, I've thought about that a number of times since, that it just so happens that I was sitting there that night when this dog crosses through, right? And I've imagined in my mind, I've made the dog, I've personified him. And as I'm driving him away, the dog is saying, what are you doing? I was almost home, you know? And now I've got to start all over again. And so he had walked 7 miles. I mean, imagine this. This dog didn't know where he was. He didn't have a GPS inside of him. Nobody pointed him in the right direction. Instead, start walking this way back to your house. He basically got dropped off in the middle of nowhere, and he knew exactly how to get back to his house. Twice. Not just once, but twice. You know? And so as I'm sitting here reading this story about sheep, I know why Jesus didn't call us dogs. He calls us sheep, or he calls sinners sheep. Because sheep don't find their way back home. I don't think it would have been all that flattering to be called a dog anyway, do you? Not me. But he says that sinners are lost sheep because they have no sense of direction. If one wanders off, if he gets back home, it is purely by accident. He's not getting back. And so he's gone for good unless somebody goes and gets him. And so sinners are lost sheep who need a shepherd to find them. And God is that shepherd. That's what he's like. He goes after the lost sheep. And he's willing to leave the rest of the flock behind, all 99 of them, to go and get that one. To get that one that is on his heart. And in case you're worried about the 99 that are out there in the open country and what might happen to those sheep, Jesus is using a story here to emphasize to us that God has a heart for individuals. He sees individuals, not just groups of people. He looks out, and right now he sees inside every person's heart who is here. He sees you, and he knows your name, and he cares for you. That's what our God is like. God sees you this morning, that same God who upholds the universe. He sees every planet right now that we will never discover. The Hubble telescope will never reach it. It'll never get there, but God sees it. That's the God who sees you this morning. He sees black holes that no telescopes will ever reach and science will never completely understand, but our God sees them all at once. He knows where each one is located because he placed it there. And he looks out this morning and he sees you and he knows you. He sees stars that give off light that will never reach our galaxy. The light that he sees is for his eyes only. He knows where every single one of them are. Millions and billions of stars that he placed out there. He flung them out there with his hand. And yet God looks down and he sees you. And he cares for you. It's an astounding thought. God has so many other things on his mind. So many other things that he has to control, that he is aware of. And not just the things that are in planets distant from us. He sees every person on the planet right now, billions of people, and knows what's on each person's heart. He can hear millions of prayers all at once and answer every single one of them and never be confused. That's the God who looks out and sees you this morning. What an amazing God he is. He's not the type of God who says, well, I've got 99 out of 100. That's good enough. You know, I think a lot of us would probably be that way. I mean, there are 100 sheep, 99%. That's A plus. That's all I need. But not our God. 99 isn't good enough for him. He had 100 sheep. And one of them is lost. One of them is wandering. And he will go and get it. Because he knows his sheep. He loves them. And he will go and find them until each and every one of those sheep is back in the fold. He will not lose them. Well, what does it mean to be found? What does it mean to be found? I mean, I think we were reading the story, and I think we can imagine. Here's the shepherd. He's out there in the fields with his sheep. He sees the sheep. He goes and he gets it with his staff, pulls it back to him, throws it on his shoulders just so the sheep can't run away again, and then carries it back to the flock. I think we get what it means for a sheep to be found, but what about a person? What does it mean to be truly found by God in real life? For me to be found by God. And he tells us in verse 7, Jesus does here in this story, he says, there will be more joy over one sinner who repents than 99 who need no repentance. More joy over one sinner who repents than 99 who need no repentance. And so a sheep who is found is the same as a sinner who repents. That's what it means to be found by God, to repent. And so from birth, every person is a stray sheep. Every person is a stray sheep from birth. A person who wanders away from the fold in one way or another. I don't know how many people we have here this morning, but every person here at one point in their life has been a stray sheep. Every one of you has a story. Every one of you has a story. Some of you have stories here this morning that would break hearts. Unloved, abused, addicted, homeless, broken, and forgotten. Some of it's been done to you. Some of it you've done to others. And today you have a shepherd who's walking the streets and he is calling. He knows where you've been. He knows the places that you like to hide. He sees all of your baggage. And yet he loves you. And Jesus says, come and listen about a God who still wants you. Even if you think nobody else does, come and hear about a God who wants you in his fold. Some of you are here today and have been around churches, and maybe you've been turned off by words like sin and repent. But the people who gathered around Jesus, man, they would have heard these same words, and they did not run away. They ran to him because he had a message for sinners and told them about a God who delights to receive them back if they would just repent, if they would turn. They knew they had strayed from God. All of these people did. They would have been very clear about that. They'd have seen the sneers on all the religious people's faces. They knew where they were welcomed and where they were not. They knew they were welcomed in the streets. And so that's where Jesus came and met these people. And they were amazed to hear that God would still have them. And they were captured by a God who would love them in spite of their sin. And his love brought them to repentance. His love melted their hearts. They heard about a God who says yes to them. Come to me. He's not driving them away. He's bringing them in. How could they not want to hear about a God like that? How could we not want to hear about a God like that? Because that's the kind of God that we have. And that's the kind of God that Jesus proclaimed on the streets. And that's the same Jesus that we must proclaim, or the same God we must proclaim in our churches. Jesus Christ is God in the flesh. He is the good shepherd. And he left heaven for the highways and the byways of earth to seek and save those who were lost. To save them, he had to give his life for them. Because every one of us, as straying sheep, we deserve to be left lost out there in the fields, because we are the tax collectors and the sinners, friends. That's who we are. And that's who Jesus comes to and welcomes and tells about a God who saves. And so Jesus wasn't having that, to leave those out in the field that he loved. And so on a Friday night, about 8 chapters after the story that we're reading, Jesus took the beating that we deserve. Jesus took our beating, our punishment in our place, because he loved us. And he was willing to give his life for us. He did not do anything wrong. His sheep did. His people did. But he loved them and laid down his life for them. And he lost his life so that we can be found. And 3 days later, the reason why we're gathered here today, 3 days later, the tomb was empty. They crucified the Lord of glory, but he was raised in glory because death could not hold him. The grave could not keep him. The maker of life had killed death for everybody who knows that they need a shepherd. So the question for you this morning is, are you a lost sheep? Are you a lost sheep? Our God does not make mistakes. He finds what he is out there looking for, friends. He will go and get those who belong to him. He will bring them into his fold, because his grace is greater than your sin. He sees it all. He knows where you've been, and he still says, come. So come this morning. Don't run from him. He's already paid for your sin with his blood, and he offers you the new life of the resurrection. And he promises that the same power that raised Jesus Christ from the grave that day, he will place in you and raise up new life in you. He will create a new person on the inside with new wants, new desires, a new love for him. He promises he will put that in your heart. And anybody who's willing to turn from their wandering sheep ways and come under the gentle staff of the shepherd, he says, come. Come. That's what the church is supposed to be. A group of people who remember where they were when God found them, and they never get over it. So if there was a time in your life when you came to know Jesus Christ, do you remember that day? Do you remember where you were? Do you remember who you were and the grace that God gave to you? Never get over that. Because He was a shepherd who loved you, pursued you into the fields when you were running the other way. You were not running toward God. He was running toward you. And He came to save you and put you inside the crook of His staff and pull you back to His heart. This is the problem with those Pharisees and the scribes who are mocking all the tax collectors and the sinners. These people don't think they need anything. They think they didn't need forgiveness. They don't think that they've ever been lost in the first place. And folks, it's hard to be found when you don't know that you're lost. But God can melt the hearts of Pharisees and scribes too. And at the end of the passage, Jesus says something that is absolutely amazing. He says, when the grace of God changes a sinner's heart and she repents, she turns from her sin, she turns to Christ and to this God who receives her, He says, there is a party in heaven. Isn't that something? There is a party in heaven. And Jesus knew that because He had been there before. He had seen it with His own eyes. He knew what it looked like as all the angels who were gathered around the throne. God in His holy temple in heaven. All the saints who have died before and are now with Jesus, as they look down and they see one sinner repent, He says there is a party, an absolute celebration over one. All it takes is one heart to turn to Jesus, and He says there is great rejoicing in heaven. Rejoicing in a God who gives amazing grace. 15 years ago, I sat in the back of a church much like this one. I even know where I was. I know where I was. I was sitting there with my wife, and I was a wandering sheep. I wasn't just wandering. I was a lost sheep. But I had a God who was pursuing me, and I heard about a Savior who died for me, that He was raised from the grave, and I believed. God found me, and He changed my heart. He put me in the crook of His staff. He pulled me in. He pulled me, that lost one, onto His shoulders and carried me to His flock. There is a faithful shepherd who has left the 99 to come and find you today. You. He sees you. Don't run. Don't turn a deaf ear to His voice. Turn to Him and return home with Him on His shoulders. He will carry you. And everybody here will join together with the throng of heaven and rejoice in a miracle-working God. We want to rejoice with Him and with you. Rejoice about a God who leaves the 99 to find the one. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we come to You today knowing that we are absolutely lost without You. We cannot find our way back into the fold. We cannot be good enough to bring ourselves into Your presence. Thank You, God, that You loved sinners enough to leave the heavenly places and walk the streets amongst us looking for the one. And the one may be amongst us today. There may be 10, there may be 20. Have their hearts. Make them yours. Melt the hardness, the coldness, with your amazing grace. And we ask this in the name of Jesus, our Savior. Amen. In just a moment.